Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Welcome, everybody, to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Amen. We are thankful and blessed that you have joined us this evening for another time in the Word of God with our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Before I begin with the remainder of the service, I just would like for you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 62. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 62, and I'm only reading two verses. Amen. Book of Psalms, chapter 62, and the word says this: truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Amen. Is that your motto on tonight? You shall not be moved. Amen. That God is your refuge. You are waiting upon him. He is your rock and your salvation. I pray, and I should say we pray tonight, that that is your constant belief. Amen. The belief that you stand on, amen, your values, your core being, because Christ is the solid rock, amen. The writer penned it, he said, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There's no other way but the way of the Lord, and that way is Jesus Christ, amen. Be encouraged on this evening. Just want to let you know about the announcements that we have, keeping. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Every Thursday, same time, 7 p.m., Prophetic Atmosphere. Friday night, 7 p.m., Jesus and Me Ministries, also known as JAM. Amen? And then Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., join us for our live worship experience right here, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. And for those of you who are in the Brevard County area, please join us right here at our location, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. That's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the city of Cocoa, Florida. If you are not in the Brevard County area, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Click on the media tab at the top of our webpage, amen, and there you will see us live, every event that we have, and you can even go into our archives and catch up with what the Word of God is saying, amen, unto you, amen. Thank you, Jesus. And then we do ask if you would please become a vision partner, a prayer partner with this ministry. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, amen. We're counting on you. Every prayer, every dime, every support that you give, amen, is definitely helping us right here to pursue the ministry and to pursue God's purpose, amen, in the earth. Oh, glory to God. We are excited about it. Amen. I also want to let you know as well, if you can, please join us January 29th through February the 1st, 2015, for Joshua Generation's Young Warriors Conference. That's right here live, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, every night at 7 p.m. The young people are excited. I'm excited, too. The praise and worship will be going forth, amen. Different speakers will be in your hearing, and more information will be coming up to you about that soon. And you know we're going to broadcast that live, amen. So make sure that you're ready. Get your shouting shoes. We're going to have a glorious time in the Lord, amen. That's January 29th through February 1st. And then we do finally say that we have a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page, Twitter, amen. And just go there and just begin to click on it. Let us know what God is doing in your life. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. Those are the events. Those are the announcements. Govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Now let us pray. And then the next voice you will hear will be from my husband, Apostle McQueen. Amen. Let's pray, saints. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify you. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. This is a day that you have given us. We are thankful, God. We are blessed, God, even in the midst of everything that's going on around us. Your hand of mercy is still upon us. You're still on the throne. You are still a great God. You are still a mighty God. You are still a wonderful God. And for that, we say thank you. Even now, we, your people, come before you, God, humbling ourselves at your feet. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins, that you would wash us clean in the mighty name of Jesus. Wash us in your blood. Forgive us for all of our unrighteousness. God, wash the day away. If we said or done anything that was not pleasing unto you, we are sorry, God, and we repent before you, and we ask that you would just allow us to be washed again and bring us back into remembrance of who you've called us to be and our purpose and being able to understand what we're really here for, God. We just want to serve you with everything that is within us. Now, Father, even now, as the man of God comes and he begins to deliver this word on tonight, we ask that you would crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, that you will speak through him tonight. Bring out the nuggets, God. Bring out the hidden treasures. Let your spirit of wisdom and knowledge drop upon him now so that he can begin to rightfully dissect it or begin to bring it forth unto us. And we, your people, have our hearts and our minds and our ears open and prepared to receive what you have to say tonight, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask in your name that you would give us a paradigm shift in our mindset, God. Give us a paradigm shift in our hearts. Give us a paradigm shift in our spirits and in our souls. Change our language, God. Change the way that we think and how we speak as far as it is according to the kingdom of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let us begin to speak forth the things as you speak. Let us begin to see as you see, God. In Jesus' name, let us no longer remain in the same complacent state that we have been in. God, we're coming into a new year, Father, and we are ready for change. We are ready to come forth. We are ready to pursue. We are ready to take all. We are ready to come out of those caves. We are ready to come out of the hidden place, God. Anoint your people, Father, in Jesus' name, to begin to move and pursue that which you have showed us. Open our eyes again, God. Remove the scales off of them. Allow us to see as you see. Unstop our ears. Allow us to hear in the spirit correctly and accurately. Therefore, we can speak accurately. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for every sign, wonder, and miracle. We thank you that you are pushing this church forward. We thank you that the people have favor upon their lives. We thank you for the sons and the daughters that are going to be attached and birthed forth through this ministry. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for the finances. God, we thank you for the favor, and we thank you for where you're taking us to. We thank you for the promises, God, that have been spoken. We thank you for the prophecies that are getting ready to be fulfilled and manifested in this season. We thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah. Oh God, we give your name praise, glory, and honor. I thank you for all that, thank you, God. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for where you're birthed, what you're birthing forth in us and through us, God. We bless your holy name. Amen and amen again. Now, people of God, without any further ado. The time is already belabored. I want to get out of your way because I want to hear what the man of God has to say. Amen, tonight to his people. Now, let me move and let me make way for my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. We're so grateful for all that God has done for us, all that he's given us, all that he said to us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just tell him the Lord is in his holy temple. Amen. And we are grateful for all that he has done and all that he has given us. Amen. Amen. This evening, we want to just in your hearing, bring to your recollection the fact that during this season here, as we're going into it, we're deep in it now, amen. Don't forget that this is the season, amen, where we celebrate Jesus Christ's birth, amen. And some people are talking legalistically or he wasn't really born in December. No, he wasn't. We all know about Nero's son and the rest of that. What we celebrate is the fact that if he was not born, he couldn't have died. Amen? So instead of running around trying to sin and stir up contention about his birth date, let's thank God that he was born. Amen? And as we get into that, then we'll be able to celebrate greater. Amen? I know God has some things for us that he wants to do and some things that he wants to bring forth for us. Amen. And it is those things that we want to celebrate. Amen. We know that God is about to do some wonderful things in our midst. Now, let us begin to look at some things here. I'm excited about what God is doing, mainly because today I went and picked up my cap and gown. Amen. That means that I will be graduating, and we're already looking at the next level, amen, of education and matriculation. I don't want you ever get to a place where you feel that you have done all that you needed to do. You don't have to do anything else. I got my edumacation, but go get you some more edumacation. Amen? Don't ever let it be said that you got to a level and you plateaued. Amen? So you need to be looking at the next level and trying to do better for yourself. Amen? The Bible says it very clearly that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Amen? And too often we think that that just goes to some of the other people that they talking about them. That ain't me. I'm smart enough. I'm slick enough. Listen, you can't be too smart and too slick. You need to understand how this world system works. Amen. And better than that, you need to understand how the kingdom works. Amen. And the kingdom is not from ignorance. The kingdom is from knowledge. Amen. And when I talk about knowledge, I'm not talking about gnosis. In the term of Gnosticism, amen. I'm not mentioning that. What I'm talking about is that we that know him, amen. That is a knowing on the inside of ourselves, infallible knowing. It is something that gets us to a place where we recognize and realize that God is on another level, and he has called us up to another level as well. We don't listen to what I'm saying now. We don't go after knowledge so we can overcome the scripture. We go after knowledge so that we can learn to serve him better. Amen. He takes the simple things to confound the wise. Amen. So sometimes we get so deep that we forget to simply look low. Okay, let me say that. We get so deep, we become so wonderful that we don't look low. We don't look to see what it is he's showing us. Now, in this season, we can go and begin to talk about who's doing what, when, where, and how, and all these wonderful things. We can celebrate Jesus as much as we want to, but while we're doing that, don't let yourself be drawn away into other things. Amen. It's those other things that will deter your destiny. You'll still be going down the road. You'll just be going in the wrong direction. And God is trying to get us to understand that this is a time, a season, and a place. Amen. Well, we go over into this next year. He's about to manifest some things. Let me just bring back to your remembrance some things that Prophetess and I was saying at the very beginning of this year. And that simply was that God was about to shake some things up. We're about to see changing of some of the guard. And those who are spiritual generals, those who are the foundation and the pillars of Christianity, God is about to take some of them off the scene, not because they sin, no, not because they've done wrong, not because they were in error, no, that wasn't it. It was so that those who are in the back can come to the front. See, you have to understand that the priest, after he has served his time, amen, was able to take his censure that's the belt around his waist and lift it up beneath his breast, signifying that he had successfully served his duty to God. Amen. He had done what he needed to do. God was pleased with them, and God had given him his rest. Now we have seen spiritual leaders, generals, if you will, who have gone on to glory. Amen. And they have gone. Now, with that means that there's a mantle, there's a responsibility, there is an assignment that is left. And those of us who have been, and those of you who have been in the wilderness, waiting on your opportunity, God is saying, now is when I'm sending you, Moses, back to Egypt, because now is the time for you to go do the work. I wish I had time to really get into that. But you have to understand, God is getting ready to do some things through us and for us. Now I want your faith to get in gear with what God is trying to do. If you sit back and you let the enemy talk you out of this next level, this next move, shame on you. Amen? You don't have to be prophetic to see that we are living in interesting, if at best, time. This is a time when things are happening and we're looking at them and we're trying to figure out, you know, Lord, what's going on? But the Lord just said something very simple to me. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. You see, what he's doing is he's trying to get us to turn back to him. We turn to our stuff. We turn to our next dimension, next level. Most of the time, that was just you getting more stuff at a higher level. You know, instead of you driving a Ford, you want to drive a Cadillac. Instead of you driving a Cadillac, you want to drive a Lexus. Instead of you driving a Lexus, you want a BMW or Mercedes. And now they got the Jag coming out here. We got saints running around talking about it's good to be bad. You know, you talking about your next level, it's your next automobile. Brother, sister, when you drive that off the lot right now, it starts to depreciate. That is not the next level. Amen? Huh? You're talking about your house. You're talking about where you live. Well, guess what? You get that house, and now we're finding out that houses that they built are built in floodplains. So now you can't get the right insurance. And looking at the way that the climate is, you need to have those type of things in place. So now you think that you got this house, and it was the best thing. You find out that you in a bad place, and you're about to be upside down in this thing. Listen, that was not the blessing. That was not the next level. See, what happens is when we begin to seek after God, God leads us where we need to go, and then he gives us what we need to have. So instead of us going up there looking at what looks good to us, you need to preach this thing. When you look at Lot, looked over into the plains and thought that that was the best place to go. But we all know from reading the rest of the scripture there in Genesis that all of that went on in the plains was nothing that God was pleased with. that it's a blessing when really it's a curse in disguise. And God's trying to get us to look at what he's trying to do. See, in the kingdom, all these things that are set up are for your good. Let me give you some scripture here, because I don't want you to think that I'm just here talking. I want you to understand that there's some things that God is trying to say to us, amen? And when we get his voice in our ears, then we'll get every other voice out of our ears, amen? We can clearly hear what God is saying. We can clearly see what he's trying to speak to his people. I refuse to go out of 2014 into 2015 carrying the same baggage that I came in to 2014 with. There should have been some growth through my life. There should have been some maturing. There should have been some development that happened with me from last year to this year. And now when I go from this year to the next year, there should be some growth, amen? I don't care if that growth was minimal. It should have still been a forward progression, amen? Huh? You can't tell me that God is taking you forward and everything about you is the same as it was, huh? We got to get past this mediocre and this mediocrity that we call our norm and get to the great things that God has called us to. He called me to greater, and I'm going to greater things. Amen? Let's go, if we will, to Ephesians, the first chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Sometimes you need to learn how to just wait on him so he can speak. Amen? Now, when he begins to speak, then we can clearly hear what he's saying. First, let's go to the third verse. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, now, look at this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Listen, if we just stop right there, right quick, and we begin to look at this, what I was talking to you, that was not the next dimension. That was not the next blessing. You have to understand that the blessing is already yours. Wait a minute. There's an apostle, there's a prophet, there's an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher coming in to tell you that if you come over to my revival, my conference, my services, what I'm doing, you want to get your blessing. Brother, sister, let me tell you right now, your blessing isn't because you went there. Your blessing is because you're connected properly. Okay. All right, let me say this right here. Your running after a blessing does not ensure the blessing. Your pursuing after stuff does not secure the stuff. Your things do not talk about your blessedness. Okay, look what it says here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we have to understand, because we're talking about a season of giving. We just come from thanksgiving to a season of just giving. But you need to understand what was first of all given to you. And this did not start when Jesus Christ showed up. This happened before there was a world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, who has blessed us with every. Now, if I stop right there, I can preach on every, because when it says every, there's nothing that is not included in every. That means that if there is a contender, it is included. If there is a possibility, it is included. When you say every, you're all-inclusive of everything that is valid in this matter. What is the matter? Spiritual blessing. You see that? See, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So now, here we get down to the meat of the matter. Most people are running after the stuff, but they won't pursue Christ. Mm. You'll run after this and you'll serve and you'll do everything else. You've taken out loans and you borrowed from people. You forgot. No, you didn't forget. You simply just paid all your bill money trying to get a blessing when the blessing is already yours, because if you are in Christ, he has already given you every spiritual blessing. Where are you going? Why are you pursuing after that? Listen. Stay with me here, because you have to begin now to pursue after a relationship now that matures and develops. And as it matures and develops, the blessings are released as you mature into them. How does that work? Well, let's make it a natural thing so you can see it. As a father, I have my son, and my son may want to have my car. Well, he can't have my car if he's 10 years old. First of all, he's not old enough to drive. Second of all, he's not old enough to legally be licensed to drive. You see that? He can't get insurance on him to have that car. So even though I may give it to him, obtain, you see that? He can't maintain ownership of that vehicle. It is foolish then to give him a car or give him something that he can't take ownership of and maintain it. And God is not foolish either. All this time you've been running after and talking about, ooh, I'm going to get my next, ooh. We shout, we're running and everything else. We grabbing our neighbor's hands and shouting in a circle, oh, here we go. But if you have not matured to the level where God can release it into your hands, then you are running after a pipe dream. It can't happen, and God will not allow it to happen. Why? Because God loves us, and he knows that your blessing that you seek may be the very thing that destroys your life. So he won't give it to you until you're ready for it. Going into this Christmas holiday, there's going to be many parents who turn around and give kids gifts that they're not mature enough to have, trying to show that they love them. But God really loves you, and he won't give you something before time. You can pray, you can scream, holler, you can turn on your plate, you can call your best friend, you can call your prayer partner, you can go to the church and lay before the altar just like Hannah did, waiting on Samuel to come. But guess what? He's not giving it to you until you mature up to it. Let's keep looking at this here. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Listen to this, in Christ. You want your blessing? Get in Christ. You want greater blessing? Get deeper in Christ. Huh? Pursue him. Pursue his ways. Pursue who he is. Manifest his presence in the earth. You are the representative of Jesus Christ in the earth. He delegated his authority to us in my name. You see that? If you don't understand who he is, using his name is not going to help you. All right. Other world. So my living this life then is not of my accord. I'm waiting on this to settle on the inside of somebody. Because you've been trying to run from God, and God has been pursuing you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. Huh? He knew you were going to be sick, so he allowed him to be whipped. And every stripe that was stripped across his back, they beat him, and they took the whips, and they began to beat him and fillet the flesh off of him, knowing that by his stripes we are healed. You talk about, well, I don't have a physical ailment. That's okay, because he did it for your mental ailments too. He's here to heal your emotions. Some people live and they go to the doctor and get a clean bill of health. But when you begin to talk to them, you recognize there's some sickness going on. It's not in the body, it's in the mind. And his stripes were given for that healing too. Look at your neighbor and say, you can be healed. Oh, yes, you can. You can be healed. You can be healed and delivered. And he chose us. We're in him before the foundations of the world. So now what he's doing is he's trying to bring you back to a reality that you are in him. When you don't know who you are, then you'll pursue an identity that don't fit your identity. My mother and father used to always tell us, remember who you represent. We go outside and we'd be going to different places, and they say, hey, remember whose son you are. Huh? Remember who your parents are. You see what I'm saying? They will make sure that we didn't get to a place where we got so big above ourselves that we forgot that when we went out, we didn't just represent ourselves. We represented the family. And when we represented the family, we represented our church family too, because we were church folk. Many people right now are talking about they can't stand church folk. I love Jesus, but I ain't going to church. I can read the Bible myself. Well, you keep believing that. And when you bust hell wide open because of your misinterpretations based on your perception from your hurt, your feelings mixed into the scripture instead of the revelation from God, huh? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with believers. You need to be with people who believe. So when the enemy comes trying to do what he did with Eve, have not God said and deterred the word, you can turn around and say, you know, I was feeling in my spirit. No, no, that ain't God. You know, because the scriptures say your brothers and sisters will help keep you in line. But if you out there reading the Bible by yourself, guess what? You'll be off. Don't know it. When it's time to correct you, you can't come into a standard of correctness, walking, because now it goes against what you've been believing all this time. Now your flesh is involved, and you stick with it, trying to prove to people that they were wrong and you were right. And after all is said and done, the devil's sitting back there going, "Whoo, yeah, they love the Lord, but they ain't gonna see his face in peace. Let me go on to my next assignment." If you're chosen in him, then your job is to pursue him. Look at your neighbor and say, pursue him. You got to pursue after him. And as you're pursuing after him, then the things that have been set already in place for you since the foundations of the world will start to be revealed to you. A modification to your outlook and your behavior patterns. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Now we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, so there was a separation of us from his presence. Amen. But because there was already set in place before the foundation of the world, a predestination, or there was a determination concerning you, there was always left open a door. It is not by happen chance that you were born now, when the blood of Jesus could be applied to your sinful life and nature. He made sure that you were able to accept the gift that he's giving you. While you're running around trying to be blessed, he's trying to let you know, I've already blessed you. This might be a little bit much for some folk, because you still feel that I'm about to bless you. Thank you. I need every blessing I can get. No, you just need to grow up. As you grow up, then you'll find out that the things that he has set in him before the foundations of the world, when he set you in him and he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, those things that he set as your blessings, the spiritual things, and those things that come with it in natural manifestation will be revealed and released to you. go back to the analogy of my son, 10 years old, he can't drive my Dodge Ram 5-cab 4x4 Sport. He can't drive it. He'd be sitting up in there talking about, ooh, I want a big truck like this when I grow up. Yeah, you can look like this, and I'll buy you a little Tonka toy looking like it. Amen. I went back a little ways for some people. Huh? You'll have a Hot Wheels looking like this, a Matchbox car looking like this, but you won't have this, not until you're old enough to actually get in this. And then when you get to the age of 16 years old, when you can legally be licensed, this truck is too much for you to handle. Ooh, I'm blessing somebody right now. I hope y'all shout all over this. Because sometimes when you get to the level where you think that you can handle it, yeah, I can get it now. Yeah, but you're not ready for it yet. First thing I did for my son to help him prepare for his life and the responsibilities that come along with having a vehicle was I made sure that I had my car that he could get. The first car that my son had was the car that I bought fresh off the lot. Isn't that right? And when he got it, the first thing he had to do was learn how to keep gas in it. And no, I'm not giving you all the gas money. I might as well keep my car and just let you drive it. If you're going to have it, you need to know that you got to put gas in this car. You need to know that the oil has to be changed in this car. Yeah, and you know those wheels, those tires, if you go spinning out and driving crazy, you're going to have bald tires, and those tires cost money. See, in order for you to understand the next level of what you've been desiring, you have to understand the maintenance of it, and things cost, and he's not giving you something you're not ready for. Notice I used two words when I began to talk about this. I said mature, and I said develop. Maturation is something that comes, or maturity comes, amen, as a part of you living and growing and eating the right foods and exercising and working out and sleeping and getting up and you taking care of this body, you begin to grow up, and as you mature, your body begins to get older, amen. But as it gets older, you become more in tune with the nuances of this vessel. Somebody tell you, why don't you go run a 5-mile race, you know, run for this or that and the other. And sometimes you'll do like me, and I'll just give you a little check or a little donation, because I know that when I was younger, this body could do that run. But as I mature, stop laughing at me. Some of y'all in the same place, amen. As I matured, I'm not running 5 miles and not feeling it within the end of the race, amen. And some people have to understand that you mature. As you mature, you gain a greater understanding of what you can and cannot do. Why am I saying that? Because as you mature, some of your desires that you had when you were a child are not appropriate when you become mature. That means that you can't be looking at your list from way back when you weren't mature at this level and still hold on to that. The prophetess and I are reading a book right now that talks about these three different pastors, and one had this list that they had, and they wrote in a notebook of everything that they wanted, what type of church they wanted to pastor, and type of congregation, and what type of house, and all that. He said, you know, I had that book, and that was my dream book, and I was looking at it and wishing and hoping that and praying, and, you know, Lord, let me have it. And he said, after all was said and done, after I got to doing the work of God, and I began to grow in this thing, I begin to mature in this, and I begin to learn the ways and the will of God more. I begin to understand his plan and his purpose. I go back and look at that book, and I just chuckle, because some of the stuff that I thought I had to have in order to do his will was simply foolish. Some of us today won't do what God is telling us to do, waiting on him to fulfill our wish list. And God's trying to get us to move. If you start moving and learning who he is, you'll see that some of your desires are foolish outside of the will of God. All right. Let's look at this. Maturing and developing. What do I develop? I begin to develop my spiritual body. Like this, you are what you eat. And if around you, all you're eating is a bunch of junk food and mess and cake, and you doing the Peter Pan thing, you imagining, and it's all this group gop, fluffy this, that, and other, then that's what you really going to be. Group gop, fluffy, and some of you, thank God for coming into Christianity, but at some point, you should have gotten hungry for the real thing. You satisfied with the gravy, but you can't handle the potatoes. Oh, you want the steak sauce, but you can't eat the meat. Can't take the steak. You see what I'm saying? See, all of those things that we add to this makes it more palatable. But we've been settling for all the stuff we added, and we've left the gospel out. So every once in a while, it's good to get a good shout in. I love it. You know, I don't have a problem sitting on my organ and playing and giving God his glory. If you want to run around and shout until you break your heel or twist the ankle, that's you. I'll let you do it. Amen? Because I'm not going to hold back from God. If your ankle twists, he'll heal it. I bet you never feel that it twisted. It won't be sitting up here swelling up like a grapefruit. Oh, we ain't seen it before. We know, I digress right quick. Let me just bump over here, sidebar. We knew who was faking in church because there were people who would shout on the edge of a stage or something, never fall off. And we know they didn't have balance because if they was walking up or down the steps, they could trip just trying to get into church. But when the power of God hit them, they could be on a tightrope and never fall off. Because the anointing of the Lord was in there. The power of God was in there. They had an anointing on their life. And it kept them while they were praising God. Now, there were some people who had practiced in front of the mirror who didn't fare so well. Amen? And when they fell, they laughed trying to get up. Out. We saw what you was doing. Next time, you need to get the relationship before you try to get the relationship shot. Okay, now let me get back to this. I think some of that stuff is funny. I still see people right now today trying to practice shouts. How you going to get up there trying to hopscotch, talking about this shout he gave you? Hopscotching before the Lord. Doing Broadway exit moves. Really? Yeah, I felt it. Okay, you felt something. I don't know if it was the anointing. I don't think it was the power of God. All right, listen, let me get back here. As I said, there's two words I use, mature and develop. Say it again. Mature and develop, okay? Now, with maturing and developing, these things will help us with these next things, that we should be holy, okay? Love. Now, first of all, let me just talk about these two words here, holy and love, okay? Because some people claiming to be holy say that they do things in love, but the aftermath of your holy love is everything but holiness or love. I used to call them the mean church mothers. Mean church people, I've been saved all this time, and you know, right is just right. No, a lot of time that was perception, or that was your perception, and you were upset at everybody else because your child came in and did this, your child did that, the other, and then when somebody else came up there, you tried to save your child and persecute them. We have that saying, throw them up under a bus. Well, you know, guess what? There was a lot of people who were thrown up under buses to save other folk in the name of being holy, and we're doing this because we love you. No, this is not what this means here, huh? That we should be holy and without blame before him. First of all, you have to understand that it is our responsibility to be holy before God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You see that? Be ye holy, or you be holy like I'm holy. In order for us, and this is the problem now, hear me when I say this. This is the problem when we say be holy like he's holy. We try to bring his holy level down to what we can manage as holy in our lives. Do. And can't really is, can't is an inability of, because of lack of resource or lack of ability to conclude a matter or to complete something. You see what I'm saying? You can't do it because you don't have the money. You don't have the strength. You don't have the resource. But most of the time, your can't is a won't. Will not. Your will is involved in it. And because your will is involved in it, even though you have the ability to do it, you simply can't bring yourself to do it because it means that your will has to come down and submit to his will. So you won't do it. That's why it's important to understand that the Bible says very clearly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what is he going to strengthen you to do? He's going to strengthen you to do the will of God that has been assigned to your life. So there's no can in God. There's a won't in you. Holiness is something that we're called to. In holiness and righteousness before him, we're supposed to walk all the days of our life. We're supposed to demonstrate this holy fervor, huh? For the world to see. The world can't figure out what Christianity is because everything that has a stance or a platform can call itself Christian, even if it doesn't have any of the earmarkings, if you will, of real Christianity. We got to stop accepting everything in the church and then try to make excuse for it. Brother, sister, you're not so talented. You're not so rich. You're not so big and bountiful and wonderful and just other level that we have to dismiss the precept of the gospel for you. We will not tear down the foundation of holiness just to let you in because you sing the best. You play the best. You can dance the best. You can give the best. You can do that. All of that, Simon, your money perish with you. There has to be a standard that we get to, and the standard for our life is holiness. Everything else falls shy, falls short. When it says that we should be holy and be we should be holy without blame before him. It says that when we are walking after and pursuing after Christ, he can bless us, and the things he blesses us with will not lead us away from his presence, but cause us to fall more deeply in love with him, that we move closer to him. So when we're in him and we love him, then we can stand before him blameless in love. When your faults show up, your past comes knocking on your door trying to remind you of where you come from, his blood stands up and covers you, and you stand before him blameless in love. When you mess up and you don't walk like you need to walk, and you have some shortcomings and some downfalls, and you say, Father, help me, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me, Lord, I messed up. He says, I forgive you. The blood is applied, and you stand before him blameless in love. Here, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So now, let me just share this with you. Jesus is holy. God is holy. And we need to be holy. Why? Because we are the sons and the daughters of God, and we represent him in the earth.
Yeah.
Y'all see it? Having predestined us to adoption as sons. And that word sons there is not gender specific, okay? It's not something that excludes females. Well, there are no daughters because it said sons. This word sons right here talks of status. You see what I'm saying? It can apply then to a male or female in this application. It is sons or children of God. You understand? By Jesus Christ to himself. So in other words, he chose us. He gave us every spiritual blessing. You see that? And then he gave us a responsibility and a charge, huh? That we should be holy before him without blame in love. You see that? We're supposed to be with him. And he predestined us to this by adopting us. You see that? As son by Jesus Christ to himself. Look at these last words, these words here. According to the good pleasure of his will. So when I talk about you being pursued after God, God is trying to get you to a place where you understand that everything that he's done in your life has been because he set this in order at the very beginning of time. Before there was a world, the foundations of the world, he had already saw you. Looked through the annals of time and saw your pretty beady eyes, amen, and looked at you and said, I want that one. And then began to set up in his plan an assignment and a purpose for your life. You were born to praise him and to worship him, yes, but you're also born so that you can demonstrate the grace of his glory in your life according to the good pleasure of his will. He did it because he liked it. He did it because it made him happy. He did it because he received from it a gratification. Lord Jesus, this is deep, ain't it? Huh? He didn't save you because you needed saving for your sake. He saved you because it made him happy, and he got joy out of saving you for his own sake, to the pleasure of his will. Notice that his is a capital H. So you don't get it messed up thinking that someone else in here is talking and they're getting happy about it. No, God got happy about you being saved. God got happy about you being chosen. God got happy about every spiritual blessing that he has already set in your life. God is happy about you. Everybody talking about you were oops and you were a mistake and nobody wanted you and you just happened, they just didn't want to go through another abortion. That's why you here. Lie, lie, lie. God chose you. God planned you. You are here because he loved you. He did all this to the pleasure of his will. That means that when we fulfill the will of God, then God gets joy. He takes pleasure in it. God didn't give you an assignment to make you miserable in your life. Most of the time, we're miserable in our life because we simply won't say yes to God. And when you don't give him a yes, then that means everything that you replace from that yes will cause you the misery and discomfort that you experience. If you want a better life, give him a better yes and stick with it. Might need to give God a praise. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Look at this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I told somebody else this, and I've been saying this. You were created to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, when we talk about praise, and then we talk about the glory, you need to understand his grace. Now, praise is a public acknowledgement of a truth. When I tell people I love my wife, what I'm telling them is publicly something that is an affirmation of a truth, because I love my wife. Huh? Glory, the glory normally comes after a struggle, after a hardship. We see that Jesus is glorified after the crucifixion and after the death and burial. His resurrection brings him into a glorified state. Glory normally comes after. You see that? So when we talk about the praise, he talked about us. And then he brought us through it. You see that? By his grace. You see that? What are you, I don't understand how you say that. Listen, to the praise, let's talk about Job. He talked about him. Somebody said he got set up for the okie doke. No, he didn't get set up for the okie doke. He got set up for a blessed up. You see this? Because out of this whole situation, the enemy couldn't destroy him. And at the end, God gave him, God got the glory out the whole thing. You need to repent because what you said about me was not correct. You need to go to the end. Pray for him. And then the Bible tells us about his grace that kept him coming all the way through all of that hardship and test. He was kept by it. But now the glory is at the end. You see this? And where he receives double what he had lost. Some of you need to stop fighting the going through and just get to the glory of it so that his grace can show up on your behalf. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. So we are beloved. We are the beloved. Amen. And when you understand that, then you stop letting people tell you about not being loved and no one likes you, no one cares, and no one's this, that, and other. The devil is a liar. God loves you. God cares about you. Brothers, sisters, those of you who are watching online right now, listening to the sound of my voice, I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Maybe you need to know that someone can stand with you. This is the time and season when we see so many people who are downtrodden and they're going through all kinds of emotional stress and trauma, mental distresses and illnesses. I want you to know that God loves you. Everybody could have walked away and you could have felt that your life was over. Your life is not over until God says it's over. God wants to save you. The blood of Jesus can be applied to your sins. Simply pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing ministry where they can go and be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. Satan and Lord God rebuke you. You are a defeated foe. The blood of Jesus prevails against you. Lord, right now, we speak right now concerning our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted over in Pakistan, Christians being persecuted in Nigeria and in Kenya. Lord, I pray for them now. Lord, send to them resources to help them to stand. Lord, cover them in the name of Jesus. Release your ministering angels, Lord, so that their faith isn't broken and that others come to Christ in the name. We pray right now for those who are here, Lord, that you begin to touch them in their body. Help them to see that this is your will for their life and that they focus on you and focus on the glory of your name. We praise you now. We honor you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. That's for Christ the King Redemptive. ctkr.org. Amen. ctkr.org. And there you learn more about us. I pray you become a vision partner with this. We have ministries that are asking us for support and help, especially here at Christmas time, orphanages and schools that are over in Nigeria and in Uganda and in Kenya and Pakistan now need to show support for each other. With the orphans, they ask that we send, you know, offerings over them, over there to help them with their Christmas celebrations with the orphans, amen, and in the schools. And I'm asking you to stand with us and to help us to be a blessing to them. On our website, you'll see a donation button. Click the donation button. Let us know that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and also what we can do to pray with you and stand with you. Your gift that you send to us, we'll make sure that we'll send it over so it can be a blessing to those who really need it over across seas and even here in the United States. I'm praying for you, and I'm blessed the name of the Lord for you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, and I thank you, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, for joining us. I want to remind you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Join us on Thursday for Prophetic Atmosphere with Prophetess Crystal McQueen at 7 p.m. And then Friday night at 7 p.m. for Friday Night Jam. And then Sunday morning for our Christ the King Redemptive Ministries worship experience at 8:30 a.m. We're looking forward to worshiping with you and being with you. Keep us in prayer, and we're praying for you. God bless you all.